I'm back. Thanks, Josh. How you doing, bud?
Doing well, Ken. Thanks.
John, how are you? Sorry, John.
Oh, I'm good. Yeah, no, I'm in the middle of the whatever. Yeah, no, I'm great, Ken. How are you?
Great. Thanks for picking up the slack last week while I, at the last minute, everybody kind of knew I was going down to, you guys were going to handle the show. I went down and saw Nick Bogdanovich down in Vegas, you know, and Chris Andrews and, you know, a bunch of those guys, Brent Musburger, or golly, I'm a week away and I'm losing my mind. Brent Musburger was there, you know. But anyways, went down to Vegas. And Tuesday morning, I was talking to my boss here, Jeff Seary, and he just said, you know, I thought you were going down for the Pat Vegas game. And I said, no, we're going to fly out tomorrow. And he goes, well, why would you fly out tomorrow when you can fly out now and get to watch the Pack play Vegas? So ironically, Barry Phillips texts me and he goes, hey, you in town for the Pack game? I have a few extra tickets. And I said, nope. And then I walked into Jeff's office and said, I'm going to go ahead and go to Vegas. So I ended up catching a last-minute flight down to Vegas, got into Vegas, and I was able to watch the UNLV Nevada game, which was a delight. And then played poker for a couple of days, Josh, and then went to the George Strait concert on Friday. So thanks to you guys for picking me up, Tommy Thompson, Josh, and John, so for picking up the slack while I was gone last week. But that being said, this might as well recap. I tell you what, John, there's nothing more delightful than what I witnessed in Vegas last week.
Oh, you know, I know.
These fans, the overrated chants, just the goal of these fans to think that they were just going to roll us over. Yeah. I mean, it was. I mean, they really did.
And it's a long time since the late 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they haven't turned that page quite yet.
I tell you what, though, the pregame at Thomas and Mack was off the chart. I mean, it was electric.
It's always been pretty cool.
They have indoor fireworks. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Do they have the shark anymore?
They used to have the shark
go through the crowd.
Yeah, they got the little shark guy. I didn't see the shark, real shark. Greg Norman, I didn't see him.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Tark?
Yeah, I was talking about Tark. So, yeah.
But everybody was there. And then, you know, the one thing that, you know, everybody, I'm sorry, guys, we're in the north, but they did everything they could to get. They brought out the Fremont cannon at halftime. They kept announcing the national champion cheerleading squad, the national champion, what's the other one? Cheer squad. Amazing how they were trying to get everybody involved in this game.
They still call us UNR.
John, everybody was involved except the Rebel basketball
team.
Yeah,
exactly. That was it's elementary at this point. I love it.
It was disgusting. You know, by halftime, you know, everybody was just you could hear Wolfpack chants. You're not supposed to hear that in Vegas.
No.
So golly, it was fantastic. Awesome. Josh, yeah,
I loved it. You know, I know they got plenty of mileage out of that game they somehow pulled up at Lawler last year, and that's fine, but you know, they've been beaten down repeatedly since. And now I'm not even sure, you know, how they pulled that off, but we talked, Ken, last week on the show. Well, that's one part of it, but about just what a mismatch, and you know, from some of the texts I sent you, like, this isn't even, like, watchable, and they're not even competitive. I don't even know how, you know, they have reasonably decent players over, because UNLV, I mean, they're not in the cellar of the Mountain West, they're not horrible. You watch them against Nevada, there's such a stark contrast, but to me, it's even just frustrating from a competitive, because I told you I was frustrated because I had the over, and UNLV just did nothing but miss layups all night. Like, they're going to, you know, screw me out of the ticket. Well, I'm convinced of this. But then the more frustrated as the game wore on, I'm like, this is just not a good team. They're not sound fundamentally. They turn it over a ton. They miss a lot of easy shots. And it's not even sure, conceptually what they're trying to accomplish.
0-for-13 from 3 points terrible. in the first half. And obviously, there would be nothing I love more than Nevada. Right. I think they have the most consecutive games made with a three. It's like 1,000 and something.
Yeah.
So is that right, John?
It's up there.
Yeah, but they ended up making one. But, you know,
right, Ken. For a couple of years in a row, though, now we're 20-ish games into the season, it just looks like UNLV is one of those teams. I felt the same way last year, where, like, toward the end of the year, they regressed as opposed to early in the year. It just seems like they don't get brought along where there's any sort of real development. I'm just not impressed with them at all.
There really is. And, you know, losing their whole front court doesn't help.
A bunch of one-and-dones. I guess, you know, they're reasonably competitive based on
what happened. Shakur Houston, however you say his name. That's a huge loss for him. He can bang with anybody, but
I guess they wish McCoy had come back after going undrafted.
That was a crazy mistake out of that kid. Like, I thought the guy had a lot of potential, but I don't know. Jordan Caroline never had a problem with him.
No, Jordan Caroline, he doesn't have a lot of problem with anybody.
No.
The way he's going,
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So that's how I started out my week, and I hate missing the Super Bowl show, but you know I. Budweiser was kind enough to give us a skybox to the George Strait concert, and So Nevada played Vegas, you know, down there. So I had to take advantage of that, boys, and I appreciate you guys picking up the slack. So let's talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. Josh, how did you do? I know that you had a pretty good prop day on your Super Bowl bets. Yeah. We didn't get to converse a lot about it because I was in Vegas and I was, you know, incapacitated for almost a week straight. But, you know, you were showing me some of your parlay tickets, you know, that you hit, you know, the William Hill parlay card.
Yeah, thanks, Kimmy. Yeah, that was pretty sweet. Like, we did talk about, and before you left, you know, we had one show already about, you know, the Super Bowl. Then we went over it again last week and had a few more. But unlike some games where I just really kind of prop crazy and I do a whole bunch of them, there wasn't a whole lot I liked this time, so I kept it somewhat simple and didn't, you know, go too haywire with stuff just to, you know, have a bunch of action. But I kind of hammered the ones I liked the best. And as I mentioned to you, Ken, I didn't realize William Hill puts out a prop parlay card. They almost always do. But it wasn't here. At first, all they had was that yellow one that doesn't have many options on it. I didn't like it too much. But on the day of the game, I was sitting there, you know, at the sports book and realized, oh, they put out just a different prop parlay card with a handful of stuff. Some of it was random. Like, I would never play, like, Tom Brady's, you know, passing yards odd or even. I'm like, oh, forget that. But there was actually a few.
I saw that one.
Why would you ever kill a parlay card with that? But there were some that I thought were exploitable, and they were all the props I liked to begin with anyway, that being, like, more points in the second half. I ended up liking the under on total passers, although I know we always go over one because the price went up to minus 150.
Under 2.5.
Right. And I liked the fact that I figured it would be a close game. I'm like, they're not going to goof around. I mean, Johnny Hecker of the Rams, the punter, he's not going to throw. So I started liking the under on that, under on the longest, you know, touchdown score, under on total third down conversion. Suddenly I'm looking at this card and I'm like, this thing's soft. I mean, there's got to be four or five that I feel like are
more points in the second half.
Right. More points in the second half than first. No scores in the first 5.5 minutes of the game, which almost blew up. But still. So I just started kind of round robining these things. You saw like 20, 25 bucks a shot. And it turns out, thankfully, with the Brady interception that prevented that, you know, early score, which would have killed a couple cards, but I ended up just kind of sweeping the board. And with those odds, way better. Obviously, you can't parlay props off the board, although some books allow it, not William Hill. But if you were able to, this is still better odds because all these are minus 120 or whatever.
Sure.
Right, a little four-leg card at 13-1, and I clipped a bunch of them and, like, made my what would have been a profitable day, made it way bigger.
That's awesome. Yeah, and then you got to keep your eyes peeled for that type of stuff, and you definitely have a good eye for those type of cards. And you said the word soft. That's a perfect way to describe that.
Yeah, exactly. I see that. It's just one of those things. Even though it's still a parlay and you still need all the stars to align, I still thought there were some real beatable, you know, props on that card.
Edge. Exactly.
And then some of the other ones, like I said, Ken, some of the stuff comes in, some doesn't. I mean, I'll admit there's same things like, you know, three consecutive scores, which always hits, didn't hit. And I laid, you know, -160 on that, whatever. I lost a few props, but overall, it kind of simplified the action and came out pretty good.
Yeah.
I think I ended up breaking about even on my props, but I had a pretty good size bet on the Rams at +3. You know, I really didn't know what I was going to do, and then finally when the Rams went to 3, I thought, you know what, I'm going to weigh in right now on the Rams +3. Hopefully get myself, we talk about it a lot, you know, get myself into a good in-game position to, you know, hopefully the Rams are ahead sometime in the game. I come back and can take the Patriots, you know, and get a ++. But there was one opportunity that I could have gotten Patriots -2.5, and the Rams +3, you know, obviously, you know, I'm just looking for the game to come 3 to have any kind of chance there. But I never laid off, and I end up, you know, losing a bet. I lost a big bet on the Rams at +3, John.
Yeah, I was middling with the prop bets. I split side and total, so it was pretty much a wash for me. But Patriots winning is disgusting, so that it was a loss for me on the day. We had a great time here. It's always fun here. During the can we say Super Bowl again?
Yeah, we can say it. We can say it last week.
Well, yeah, we did.
Yeah,
but you gotta tip your hat to these Patriots. It's really unbelievable. I don't see any end in sight either.
You know, I do see a little bit of a decline in Brady. I do, but you know,
yeah, but decline from the greatest of all time to the greatest right now
is still in a top four quarterback in the entire NFL.
Exactly.
So it's just crazy, you know. I guess they come back. You know, we'll get into the odds for next year, you know. But the handle was down this year, you know. And I think
I was surprised, by the way, Ken. They expected record shattering, whatever. Oh, and they actually attributed it to mostly it being a boring game. The reason why is,
but you don't know that going in.
Well, for sure, Ken. But the first time it went backward in 10 years because they kept breaking the record, and 2009 was the worst of the economy.
There's been a number of great Super Bowls in a row.
Right, and they kept just setting the record, and they totally expected to smash the record again. But that's what I ended up seeing the articles I saw, Ken. At least I thought it seemed to be a logical explanation was that they did nothing on the in-game handle because people just weren't into it. After a while, like, okay, this isn't entertaining. But unlike the real exciting, you know, Eagles – you know, Patriots last year. It was just a score every couple minutes and wild in-game action. This year, it's, you know, more or less a lot of people gave up by the second half. So the in-game second half handle ruined the overall number.
Yeah, let's talk about the number real quick. The year before last, the handle was $158 million, $158.6 million. Last year, the handle was $145.9 million, so down
pretty
significantly,
big drop off.
About $13 million.
And they were expecting 166.
Just Nevada?
166 and a half was the over-under for
and I know where you're going.
Nevada handle. That's what they actually thought they were going to get. Yeah.
So, so can that be attributed to the
do you know what the handle was in New Jersey?
I bet it wasn't.
$36 million.
Okay, I was going to say 25. So
yeah, so the point is they thought that the New Jersey might have a record handle here. I mean, with the Patriots back there, you know, East Coast. But I want to say it was – now, don't quote me, but I'm almost certain it was right around – it was in the $30 million in handle. You know, so no, John, I see what you're saying. If New Jersey would have came in, you know, or back East would have came in the legal jurisdictions and had – 95 million. Yeah, maybe you don't get those guys to fly to Vegas to make their bets. But
is it legal anywhere else yet? Are there any books anywhere else besides New Jersey and Nevada?
Not, I don't believe so. Well, I think there are some trickling.
Oregon was toying with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've always been exempt from the national ban.
Yeah, they have.
Delaware as well.
Delaware.
Oregon has actually been able to, just hasn't done it, right?
Right. But John, what they have, you know, it's funny, people don't realize that. For the longest time, they were one of the four states excluded from the federal ban. But they did, you know, what they call quote-unquote lottery-style wagering, which I think they still have, but it's like nothing but like 10-team parlays, it all goes through the school system. So it's like you go down to your grocery store, you could do a 10-buck NFL parlay, and that was it.
I'm sure we'd do it.
For sure. And yeah, at any time, though, it's funny you mention that, because people don't bring it up, and Oregon, you know, maybe it's not fits totally in with the lifestyle out there or whatever, but at any point in time, if they need to raise money, they could open up a sports book on the corner legally, and they never did.
That's interesting.
And now they've missed the boat.
Totally. Now they're behind the times when they could have been up there.
People are going to bet the lottery, and the odds a lottery have, they're going to bet this. So what do you guys think about Rams or the current odds on favorite to win the Super Bowl next year?
I like the Chiefs.
Chiefs, where we got the Chiefs at? Chiefs, where are the Chiefs? Chiefs, 7-1. So three teams are 7-1. Rams, Saints, and Chiefs, all 7-1. Those are the current odds. Patriots opened up at 8-1, but they've been bet down to 7-1 too. So you have those four teams all looming right there at 7-1.
If not the Patriots, then I would think the Chiefs. Rams, where have the Rams been the last couple months? Even I know they made it to the Super Bowl, but. They weren't that same team after
the Chiefs game.
After the Chiefs game.
Why?
I don't know. I mean,
what happened?
Losing Cooper Kupp was huge.
Sure.
But it shouldn't have been that huge.
Yeah, but how many points did they
score? You lose Randy Moss.
Against one of the worst defense. I mean, unfathomable what I saw.
It really was. I didn't see that coming.
You know what, John? A lot of people said they were never the same after the Bears game.
Yeah.
They said, the Bears sort of gave you the blueprint to shut down that run game, sort of force Goff into the long down and distance. And a lot of people say, the Patriots just kind of followed that blueprint, and it kind of worked.
What are the Eagles and Bears odds?
Eagles are open at 18-1, and they're still at 18-1.
I like that.
A little value there, isn't there?
A lot
John?
Of value.
A lot
with
of
the
value
Eagles.
There. All right.
They damn near made the Super Bowl this year.
The Bears.
Now you know what I would have loved to see, by the way? They didn't pull it off, but if they could have upset the Saints instead of the Rams, to see the Eagles at the Rams in the NFC title game, and they had beat them in L.A. 3 or 4 weeks prior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bears are 12-1.
Not bad.
That's about right.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any value there. I mean, I really don't. I mean, you see these teams rise up one year, and it's they don't necessarily always have to follow up the next year.
That defense is for real.
Exactly.
That's one thing.
It's just like the Vikings the year before, though. But you're right, Ken. It doesn't necessarily mean repeat, but even if they're pretty good, which I think they are, look what they still have to go through, John, right?
You believe
they still have to be – right. They still have to be, fill in, like, the Saints, Rams, Eagles to get there.
Well, John, let's talk about the team that you picked in the preseason to win it all. Who was that?
That was the Rams.
Rams. He was the Rams.
Okay.
Rams, Jaguars.
50-1. So, I mean,
value with the Jaguars.
There certainly is.
We'll get Nick Foles.
Yeah, I mean, they'll go out and get a quarterback, and they can play a little defense still, and they'll cinch things up
a little. Kyler Murray. How about that?
Oh, man. I don't know how I feel.
The Jags got to pick top 7 or 8, right? So somebody's going
to
be available.
50-1. Wow, man, I might have to.
50-1. That defense. I know they took a huge step back. They started 3-1 and looked dominant. They looked like we thought they were going to look, and then they just stopped. 50-1. There's a lot of value there.
49ers, just for the local crowd or local listeners. 49ers at 30-1. Open at 30-1. Still at 30-1.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Makes sense. And figures with. If they had full health for the whole year, it's pretty crazy how competitive they've been. So despite the injury bug and everything that's hit them, but if they had Garoppolo for the entire year and a fairly healthy roster all the rest of the way down, I feel like, from at least what we've seen, Kyle Shanahan has got a decent grip on whipping them into a competitive franchise again. I still thought, you know, last year was overrated. Even if he had been healthy, they had an over-under of 9 wins. It seemed too bloated, but they could be competitive.
Can we guess on the Steelers?
25-ish? Pittsburgh. Where are they? No, 15. 15. They actually opened at 15 and went to 16. So it's somehow, if you have a reverse move on the Steelers.
Well, I can see that. I mean, it's a mess right now.
It is a mess.
But it's also easily fixable, and the window still
How's it fixable? Partial.
If, I mean, the Antonio Brown thing.
No, I just mean given that they're likely to lose both Bell and Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think the Bell, I think Bell might be an addition by subtraction. Just from, it's such a distraction.
Antonio Brown, I don't think they got good production from that position without
Unless him. They're overwhelmed, I don't think Antonio Brown goes anywhere. If you can get that number two pick out of the Niners, then we'll talk.
Yeah.
But unless that happens, I really don't see them shipping him out.
You guys are kind of in the same boat as the Patriots, aren't you, John? I mean, who's going to take over the helm as soon as these Hall of Fame quarterbacks retire?
Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but we don't know. But we don't know.
And he might be pretty good.
He might be good. They love him.
Yeah.
They love him in camp. So,
Ken, what do you think, by the way? You mentioned Kyler Murray. I think it's curious, right? There's all this hype about him. He won the Heisman, and now he's going to probably get a big contract, maybe ditch the Oakland A's. And we'll see. But I feel like similar already. We'll see how he does in the combine. They've said he wants to go because he wants to show off.
He announced that he's going.
His athleticism wants to show off all the specs that they like, measurements and all that. But you know how last year with all the hype surrounding all the quarterbacks, like, oh, who's going to go first? Baker Mayfield got a lot of late ongoing hype and then ended up being first overall. I have a feeling that happens with Murray. Not necessarily number one overall, but I guess we'll see how this all plays out. But I have a guess that he goes to Oakland. I actually do.
Let's hold that thought. When we come back, we'll get the thoughts on that. And we'll give the Oakland Raiders what their future odds are for the Super Bowl next year. So with that being said, we'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back at the Club Caliniva, coming to you live on ESPN 94.5 FM, right in front of the William Hill Sportsbook. So I was one of our listeners told me on the break that there are seven states that have legalized sports gambling right now. Mississippi, New Jersey, Delaware, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and West Virginia.
That seemed like nine.
I know it did, but it's seven. Mississippi, New Jersey, Delaware, West Virginia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Maryland.
But that doesn't count, like I said, Oregon and Wyoming, who were both still members of the previous exclusion. Yeah. They're just not.
Yeah, but they just
exercising that.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly. Which hasn't happened yet. So with that being said, yeah, that was from Jesse James. Adamitas.
Adamitz.
Adamitz. Yeah, Adamitas. Jeff,
if you ever want to get his name correct, it's Jonathan Adamitz.
No, I call him
name.
Jesse James. I call him what I want.
But he's okay with that,
call
too.
Call him what I want.
But I just mean, when
believe
he
me, he's the quickest. He's the quickest with you. If you get something wrong,
I know.
Oh, he double barrel. We don't even know him that well.
A couple times he was here, I just made sure to get his name right. So
this was the road dog, Jesse James.
Wrong. He hit me one time with wrong, and I went, whoa, okay, I'm not going to text you for like 3 weeks. So anyways, seven states. Going with that, odds on favorite, John. We're talking about odds on favorite NFL football. Your comment was Kyler Murray going to the Raiders.
Well, that was Josh's comment.
Oh, okay. Then
I said Jaguars.
Oh, what were you saying? You had a statement about the Raiders before we went to break.
No, just before we went to break, I told you that was my prediction, and you said you would give us the odds then.
Okay.
Well, so what are the odds on the Raiders?
I have no Raider thoughts.
Raiders for the Super Bowl.
No, John was talking.
I was talking about the Raiders.
No, he wasn't.
I wasn't.
All right. With that being said, do you guys want to guess?
I can come up with something. You Raiders guys, suck. How about that?
Raiders bad. Is 60 or worse? 60 to 1?
John, you want to guess what? Raiders win the
100
Super Bowl.
To 1.
125.
Oh, my goodness.
The worst odds.
What do you think?
The worst future market, John, Josh, the worst future market in all of football right now, the Oakland Raiders.
Where are they playing their home games?
Oh, man. They're tied with.
Probably going to be AT&T.
No, that's shut down.
And you're going to love this. Yeah. There's four teams, and you're going to love this.
Niners won't give up the rights.
There's four teams that are 151 to win the Super Bowl next year. Raiders.
Bengals.
Jets.
Uh-huh.
Cincinnati. Uh-huh. That's true. That's three. Even though they still have Andy Dalton pitching.
Yeah.
And Matt Vespy's Miami Dolphins. And I know he's listening.
He just texted you.
So yeah. That's right, Matt. 150 to 1 for the Dolphins to win it. Isn't that crazy?
It makes sense. I mean, what are you going to do?
I know. It's just crazy. You know, you look at these. Here we are still talking about, now we're talking about next year. Are you satisfied with the Super Bowl? Did the best team win?
No. I think the Chiefs were the best team. I think the Saints were the second best team.
Wow. I wonder what the handle would have been in a Saints-Chiefs Super
Bowl. Oh, my goodness. That's what everybody would have wanted. So. I think. I don't know. Not everybody.
I think Saints-Patriots would have done huge numbers.
Absolutely. It's oh, man. No, it was – that's one of the least satisfying Super Bowls ever, not just because the devil won again, but it was not aesthetically pleasing. It was not exciting. It wasn't – and I'm not one that hates on defense. I would love to – you know, I don't mind that at all. It just was – it was an ugly
game. But you felt like it was more of offensive errors and not a defensive game.
Yeah, that's the thing. There wasn't any shutdown D going on. It was just – it was – the Rams were lackluster and the Patriots imposed their will and – it was elementary.
All right.
One thing I wish I had seen, you know, there were some huge – Ken, by the way, interesting payouts, right, because I see the William Hill press releases and everything they send. And the day after the game, they said, hey, here's a roundup, some of the more bizarre props that hit and things of that nature. One I wish I had been on was MVP Julian Edelman, 22-1. Second hindsight, everything's easy again when you see the result. But just like last year when he was out and Amendola basically was him, right? I mean, just the hands guy who possession, but Edelman also has better physicality and more explosion. But nonetheless, Amendola was getting 11 catches per playoff game last year. He's gone again back to, like, the Dolphins because Edelman's back. And he's just such a security blanket for Brady. It's like, how could you look at that, I guess, in hindsight, the sheet, and not see that, yeah, he's going to have a huge game. You know, the Rams are going to try to put pressure on Brady, which makes, you know, the hot receiver that much more important. It's always going to be Edelman, and he returns the punts, and he could get a touchdown doing that. It's like, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, I wish I had been all over that. But, Ken, in addition, that's some of the craziest props that hit. You know how you could bet, like, the exact number of points for each team?
Yes.
The Rams to score exactly 3 was 100-1. But this William Hill press release also told you how many people were on it. I'm like, where was I? Like, Rams to score 3 points, and there was, like, 110 people who had tickets on it. Or people just do a little, you know, $2 on whatever. But 100-1.
Well, they got $100,000 on it, right?
Yeah, and there's crazy, you know, all kinds of stuff that hit. Like, how many touchdowns scored in the game? 1 or 2 touchdowns was 30-1. Someone put 100 on that. That's a nice 3 dimes. Just little things. And so William Hill told the whole story of the craziest, you know, props that hit and how many people had action on it. For the most part, I looked at him and just said, yeah, wish it was me.
No, absolutely. You know, that's what the Super Bowl brings out, those bettors. It's like the Kentucky Derby. You know, the only time I really bet horses is, you know, the Kentucky Derby. And I'll continue, you know, after
virtual horse racing.
Yeah, virtual horse racing, we do that. So, but, you know, and it just brings out everybody, and they just try to make some money. It's absolutely exciting. So, with that being said, the future odds are out. So, you can still bet those, you know, to win the Super Bowl next year, and the AFC Championship odds and the NFC Championship odds. Those are out too at William Hill, so you can make sure you get a piece of those if you like anything. It's like John said, you know, the Chiefs, you know, I just don't know how. I think the Chiefs are too watered down, John. I think if I had any value play right now, I'd be looking. I kind of agree with what you said, John. I kind of like Jacksonville sitting right there at 50-1.
The Eagles 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the Cowboys, 20-1 and 20-1?
Yeah.
I could, you know, just I mean, that doesn't really excite me. But, you know, if I'm gonna put $100 on something, you know, I need some some hedge value, some layoff value. You know, I think that, you know, 50-1, $100 at 50-1, you know, sitting there with a little $5,000 ticket, if Jacksonville just makes the playoffs.
Problem with that is the rest of the division has improved. It looks like with the Colts and Titans and Texans. So it's I thought it was a gimme. I thought they were just run through it this year. And they did quite the opposite. So the whole division's tough, but I think there's some value in that.
Yeah. Josh?
Yeah, it's tough. Like I said, literally the day after the Super Bowl, and they put these fresh odds out there, maybe the best time to get a good price on somebody. But as I look at all these long shots, you know, it's hard to say. But I would think, John, also one place I want to look to, because so many teams are changing personnel, you know, they're changing their coaches and hoping that infusion just works, like Broncos 60-1. I mean, who knows what they're going to do, but we know still they have a tremendous defense. If they would just somehow, you know, land a good quarterback at free agency, and they're going to have a new coach. If they bring someone in, everyone's looking for the new Sean McVay. If there's just like an infusion of new philosophy, like they just did with the Bears, had a complete turnaround, you know, when they went from John Fox to Matt Nagy. One of these teams just hits the right guy with the right fit with good existing talent, and suddenly that's where, you know, it ends up paying off, where, you know, you're betting it a Super Bowl future back in February. You know, the long term ends up coming into play if you get that right combination.
Which I think it goes back to John's thoughts, you know, and my thoughts at 50-1. I think Jacksonville's just a pitcher away. They really are. They have talent, and they can play some defense, and they need somebody.
I was also stunned at how they collapsed last year, though. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
The defense when the Cowboys scored 40 on them, it was just, how does that happen?
I agree.
And
so the Cowboys were getting like 12 points a game at the time. Yeah.
It just, that's what's a little disturbing about the Jaguars is, of course they need a quarterback, but you thought you could depend on that defense being top notch, and it just wasn't. It was not even good.
Right. And, you know, the Vikings went from 13 wins the year before to out of the playoffs, and they were alleged to have upgraded every need that they had.
Yep.
They upgraded supposedly a quarterback, offensive line, defensive secondary. The Vikings were supposed to just be off the charts. They didn't even sniff the playoffs.
Yep.
And Cook got healthy.
Dalvin Cook, right. They said, they were supposed to have a stronger supporting cast all the way around.
So what are you guys' thoughts real quick? Let's move on to basketball real quick. What are you guys' thoughts? Everybody remembers Nevada coming off a road win versus Colorado State, back in town, play New Mexico revenge game tomorrow. Tip-off's at 3 p.m. I have the line right here. But I want to go back and see what your guys' thoughts were of the Colorado State game and how that ended up. And I kind of have an idea,
okay,
a philosophy. But what did you guys think about the alley-oop at the buzzer?
I can see how someone would be salty about it, but I don't know. I was okay with it.
That type of thing tends to not bother me too much, although, like you said, in terms of pure etiquette or whatever, it's seen as unnecessary. I thought it was funny because the only thing I had the other night was the over. I actually thought Colorado State would hang in there, but I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I'm really dying to jump in front of the Wolfpack these days. Let's just take the over, see what happens. So that hit easily. I was happy. Yeah. But that was kind of, virtually sweating the spread. You're like, if I had Colorado State, what you'd be going through?
Yeah.
It looked pretty safe at times. And then at the end.
Of course, what did I text you right away?
Yeah.
There's a cover.
Yeah,
so
right.
I enjoyed that part of it. And
I think,
I don't know, it's brother to brother to brother alley-oop, and it's fine.
Yeah. I think there was so much. There's so much to these games. You know, having the luxury of I get lucky one time a year, it seems like, and I get to sit courtside. And when you literally sit courtside, I'm talking first row, right there in the middle, where you can see and hear everything.
Right.
I mean, the game is different.
It gives you a new perspective. You hear the refs, you hear everything.
The trash talking that goes on. And I can't help but believe that something happened that motivated play.
Could've been.
If you remember earlier, the one guy hooked Caroline underneath, and they end up calling a flagrant foul on that, and that's when we just kept hitting the free throws, and then he ends up getting ejected. You know, they came flying out on Jazz Johnson on a three, and Jazz goes to the line and hits those threes. But I just have a feeling that the Martin boys, they talk a lot. I mean, they do, and it's not necessarily bad, but they communicate a lot, and I just think that I can't help but think that they're good, respectable kids, and I just think that there was something that happened, something that was said. Just it was the icing on the cake. It was the exclamation point.
Might have been, and not to mention, there's a little bad blood with Colorado State. But Ken, a similar thing happened the other night. I was watching Kansas State. I was a little bummed out because I actually had Kansas getting 3.5 points here. They're never an underdog. Kansas State never beats them, although I know they're real good this year. So I thought, watch out. I think maybe Kansas, after coming off the win against Texas Tech, watch them take care of them again. They'd beaten K-State like 10 times in a row. Well, this was K-State's night. They just had, they played well, but also had help of, officiating and all that. But you get right down, it's a one-score game, even within the last minute. And Kansas State makes a couple of plays, and they're about to pull it out. But in Kansas's last possession, inside of 10 seconds, same thing. There was, a little turnover, and they throw it down to a guy. He could have caught the ball and just dribbled out and just let the game, end, and they were going to win. Instead, he goes in for like a windmill-style, 360 jam at the buzzer. That means nothing. But I just guarantee you right now, I went looking for my calendar for when the rematch was. Because the Jayhawks are going to remember that. And they're not going to let little brother, K-State, off the hook. And it's a motivation factor. So that's something to store in your memory bank. I don't like to see it, Ken, just because you don't want to give the opposition too much fodder. But speaking of which, who was against Boise State? Who was the Nevada player who got a technical for celebrating the three? He made a three-pointer and talked a little junk and got a tee last Saturday.
I think it was Caleb.
No, it was. I think it was
Was it Thurman?
No.
I don't know.
Yes, it was.
Yes,
it was because he's been struggling from 3-point line, and he finally made one, and it was like
That's funny, but he talked a little trash, and the ref was right there. But what's funny is he gets back in the game. Whatever, if he was there, he made another one and almost did the same thing. He started doing like talking trash again, and then he turned before he waited. He said, "I want to get a second one, get kicked out of the game." But
we need Trey Porter not to pick up 2 fouls in the first 3 minutes of every game. That's what we need.
I'm okay with that. You get Jordan Brown in the game.
Yeah, but it's not. It's Trayshawn. Trayshawn's been coming in.
I know.
So, with that being said, So what do you guys think about this tomorrow game? You know, we'll move on. Pat tips off tomorrow versus New Mexico, a revenge game. The only loss Nevada's had this year back on January 5th where they traveled to the pit and lost 85-58. Everything lined up for New Mexico in that game. You know, Nevada going back after the big comeback and, you know, Nevada getting maybe getting a little bit complacent. Every loose ball went New Mexico's way. Every three-pointer went in for New Mexico. Every, you know, mid-range shot for Nevada, in and out. You know, tough game from three-point land for Nevada. Just so many things fell into place. You know, New Mexico's 10-12 on the year. You know, and since then, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They've played 8 games.
They finally won one the other night against San Diego State.
Yeah, they've played 8 games since Nevada, and they're 2-6. They did beat Wyoming, you know, but you know, they've lost to Arizona State, or excuse me, UNLV, Utah State, Fresno State. You know, it just this looks like, and I'm gonna do the homework tonight. The lines come out, you know, we're gonna get the line here in just a second, but I'm gonna go back and look at revenge games for Muss and see how Muss remembers these games. He does, John.
He does, and I understand that aspect of it. This team just plays the Wolfpack well, I think. I think that it's a matchup issue more than anything. The motivation's obviously going to be there, and they're a far better team. And I don't know. I'm hesitant to lay 20.5 points in this. Scares me.
Just because, like I said, again, the whole rematch thing would be great. It's just so many points. Like I said, Loyola Chicago is one thing, and it wasn't that many. And even, you know, we talked about last week at the show, Boise State, even though it wasn't a quote-unquote revenge game because they won the first one, but it was barely, and, you know, Boise just kind of set the record straight with
Cody Martin,
who's got the open hand there. Right. And so, but with this one, I feel the same way, and you're right. If you do that, and I'm sure you're going to find Musselman's record in the revenge factor, he might be undefeated in terms of always covering the second one, but I just can't see it. I mean, they just have to be, you know, relentless from the start and never let up. And 20.5 points in any college game is huge, and I couldn't stomach it to lay the point.
No, I mean, I could see it obviously happening.
We've got a lot. Like, I started hesitating, you know, 9.5 against UNLV.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're getting 14 at Colorado State. It's just gotten to where, again, there was a good window of value on the pack, and, you know, now it's dried up.
I don't know, guys. I mean, I'm looking at this game. You know, I'm just looking at the schedule real quick because we're home. It's a one game. We were at Colorado State. We come home for one game. Then we travel to Wyoming and at San Diego State. So two back-to-back games after this. Then we come home. After tomorrow, we have 3 more home games left. And I just think that – I think this team is in stroke right now. I think they're playing well. I don't see New Mexico putting up much of a fight. But I'm going to have to wait. I'm going to go look up some stuff. And I want to see the revenge factor. I do want to see that. So we'll be posting those picks. We're going to talk a lot more about college basketball, some great matchups tomorrow, and we're going to get into those and Josh's thoughts on that because I'm sure that he has some stuff on Sportsline, which you can get Josh's stuff, all his articles at sportsline.com, and we're going to put up some picks this week. And to everybody that was kind of upset last week because we didn't post a lot of stuff for the Super Bowl, I didn't have a lot, guys. I didn't have a lot of stuff that I really wanted to throw out there.
Well, you posted your pad with picks on it.
And that was a game time decision, and I didn't. And I ended up losing small. But I didn't like a lot, guys. I mean, and I don't want to put content out there just
that's the thing.
Just because you got the listeners are expecting it.
I think that Super Bowl proved to be worthy of the attention it got.
Yeah.
Honestly, there wasn't much to it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go after our next commercial break. We come back. We'll talk about tomorrow night's game and the rest of college football or college basketball. This is the Windmill Sports Show, ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the Windmill Sports Show. Make sure you like us on Facebook at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Get on there, like the page. We'll invite you to be a friend, and then you guys can post all kinds of stuff on there. I love hearing what the consumers, you know, wager on and their input on our wagers. And like I said before the commercial break, Josh is obviously a sports writer for Sportsline, so you can get all his articles nationally publicated at sportsline.com.
Yep, thanks, and like, yeah, you mentioned you go there, and if you have a full subscription, which is $10 a month or, you know, like $99 for a year, you can get full access, which is everything, including the picks and all the articles or whatnot. But even if you don't have your full subscription, there's lots of free articles too.
Is publicated a word?
I think so. If it was, publicated.
Published?
Published? Publicated?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not. I have an Oklahoma education.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounded really okay.
I have a street Oklahoma education. Did I say
it's
publicated?
It's a combination of intoxicated and in public. You're yeah. Publicated.
Yes.
That's what it means.
Did I say it?
Yeah,
or
Ken,
Josh?
You said it.
Well, ask the journalist. Josh is the journalist. Is it a word, Josh?
He knows it's not a word. He's just being nice to you.
I want you.
I think it might be an Urban Dictionary, but not Webster's.
I want you to.
No, that's in Rural Dictionary.
I want you to hack on me on live radio. Exactly. Hack on me.
No, it's all good. I knew what you meant, which is the key. Yeah.
It's my gang, Billy. Arkansas All Day Rudabar. It's always been my gang. Mm-hmm. Anyways, with that being said, Wolfpack Lane 20.5 tomorrow. Total is 154. New Mexico comes
in. Can't lay that.
Big revenge game. Big packing over. Pack 100 burger coming tomorrow, boys. Mm. You know, the one thing that I will say about this, and the reason I kind of lean, the Pack didn't play really good defense against Colorado State. They gave up a lot of easy looks. And, you know, they were playing really good defense, you know, earlier on, and I think the defensive intensity got away. The Pack jumped out to a big lead against Colorado State. And it literally got down to a three-point game at one time with Colorado State having the ball. Colorado State having the ball.
Exactly. And you're right. It was tight for a while.
Yeah. So with that being said, I just think you're going to, you know, time to refocus. Pack's in stroke right now. But is this line way in too wait? Is it too inflated?
I think a little bit, Ken. Like I said, we kind of anticipated that after both the loss and a couple close calls. I thought the first game with Colorado State sort of got Nevada back on track and kind of anticipated a series of blowouts, which we've seen. But then the numbers adjust accordingly, and yeah, to me, it's gotten to the point where, again, I can't jump in at 20.5. I might wish I had in hindsight, but it's gotten to where you almost, especially against, you know, better opponents, you can almost start to find the value on the other side.
Great. Tammy, my RHR director, is blowing me up saying, no, it's publicated. No, she's saying it's published.
Yeah, it's published. Tammy, right. I had it.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that, Tammy. Sorry about that, Tammy. So I love people that just like to throw zingers when I just get out of line. I'm a nice guy. I don't ever call you guys out on anything.
It's not remotely true.
Not on the air, I don't.
Yeah, you've done it. You
Josh.
Have. Yeah.
No, you're right. But to me, so I just feel like it's an extended courtesy. Like I said, I knew what you meant, so I'm not going to stop and make a big deal about it.
I will, though, every time.
But yeah, there's no doubt.
You don't have to because you know I'm going to.
Exactly. And John, he gives it to me, too, so it's all good.
Yes.
So it's not all good. Josh, another big game tomorrow. It tips off also at 3 p.m., you know, Virginia-Duke. What a 2-3 matchup.
Yeah, Kent, that's a crazy game. Probably two of the best teams, if not the two best teams in the country.
My friend Dina just texted me, publicated is a word, to publish or to make publicly known. Publicate is a verb.
Thank you.
Third person singular simple, present publicates. So.
Thank you for having my back, Dina. And all the rest of you guys that called me out, you can go straight to, you know, I don't even give, that's right. Thank you, Dina. So, ha-ha.
Yeah, thanks.
Tammy, turn off your radio.
Thanks nothing, Dina.
Yeah, I don't.
And to be clear, I told you I was unsure when you said it. That's why.
Oh, no, you're ready to pile on?
No, I wasn't.
You're ready to pile on with JD.
Did I do anything at all, or did I just let it go completely?
You let it go.
I said I was unsure anyway, and it doesn't matter.
At least I broached it as a question. Mm. Is publicate a word? I didn't say publicate is not a word.
Yeah. Well,
I was not sure.
Tammy was real quick to pick up her phone and just hit me with it. It's not a word. Yes. It's published. Well, it's publicated, Tammy. And I told you. My response was, it's what I say it is because it's my radio show. All right, Josh.
And that was fine as it
Virginia
was.
Duke.
But like I said, Virginia Duke, possibly the top two teams in the country, period. Virginia's crazy. We all know what happened last year. Sure, they were a 1, lost to a 16. Regardless, they've been setting historic records in the ACC for years now. One team that can regularly beat Duke, which you don't even see, they only have one loss, which was at Duke a couple weeks ago. Crazy game. I thought they were going to beat them again in Cameron. They go in there fearless. They have that backline defense. No one can score. Williamson and Barrett had to have huge games, and it almost wasn't enough. One thing that was funny, there was a bad beat in that game. I remember not so fondly because I had Duke. Duke was just laying. Actually opened up at like 2. I got the worst of the number, which ended up being 3.5. I still thought they'd pull away, you know, give Virginia that first loss. Maybe they'd create some separation. One, Duke shoots free throws horribly. The last minute, they must have missed 7. Zion missed a bunch. Barrett missed some. They could have put that thing away. On the last play of the game, Virginia comes down trailing by 4. A guy tries like a behind-the-back dribble, and one of those things, he just loses control of it, and the ball's just squirting free. And it looks like clock's just going to run out, and you're going to get that cover barely. Another guy comes in, grabs it the last second, puts it up, you know, foots inside the line, all net at the buzzer. So it goes from a 4-point gap to 2 on the last play. So Virginia delivered that bad beat. But they're also one of they've only not covered the spread a couple. Again, they're like ridiculous, like 18-3 or something against the spread on the year. Duke's been pretty good against the number lately, and now you see that. Can Duke pay him back on the road? I think Virginia wins.
I do too. That's the thing. Just any conference road game is a problem. Virginia with that defense, the fact that they didn't shoot from deep at all in the first matchup, I know Duke's healthier than they were then. I like your thoughts about their inability to make free throws at Duke is mind-boggling.
It's a big thing. Like I said, but mostly because Zion, it's guys who, you know, they're not just built that way in terms of, you know, they're young guys to begin with who they haven't, you know, the freshmen who haven't played on the big stage before, but they're also just kind of, you know, the flashy type of players, and this team is as fundamentally sound. But the only thing that's too bad about the whole Virginia thing, it's kind of funny because, I mean, I like Tony Bennett. Sometimes I agonize, like, they've just cost me a lot of money. I just wish I was on, you know, the other side because they've been killing the spread for a few years now, and their style of basketball isn't necessarily, you know, super exciting to watch, but I like good defense, you know, in pretty much all sports. But you know what's crazy, Ken, is last year people are just going to remember how Virginia went down, like I mentioned, as a one. First time they've ever lost to a 16. And it just wipes out what was just a historic season. Ken, did you know the regular season, they went 17-1 in the ACC, which has never been seen before. The one loss was by 1 point to Virginia Tech in overtime. I mean, they were a bucket away from going undefeated in the nation's toughest conference. They then zipped through the ACC tournament with nobody even touched them. And this is just a crazy – I mean, teams like North Carolina score 88 a game. Virginia regularly holds them to like 44. I mean, what they're doing is just unheard of, but they'll just, you know, always be infamous for that first-round loss.
Yeah, they'll never shake that. They'll never shake that.
What do you think? Tony Bennett, I think he could win the national championship, but that loss is still probably the first line of his obit.
It's got to be because it was so shocking. And it opened up that whole region for Nevada to make it to the Final Four, which Loyola Chicago took advantage of. Yeah. But it was just – when that went down, that's when the wheels started turning. I'm like, you know what? We can make a run right here.
Yeah. And you know what the craziest thing, too, about that, Ken, was because of that, because of everything they did, you know how they actually ranked the seeds and then seed you, you'll put you adjust accordingly, meaning Virginia, because of their accomplishments, was the top overall seed in the tournament, which means theoretically they were facing the worst 16.
Yeah.
Because Kansas was actually a one seed, but they played Penn, who was a good team, you know, the kind of rank, whatever. So they always thought if 16 was actually going to win, it'd probably be
the,
you know,
fourth,
the top 16.
The fourth,
right,
one
it's
seed.
The worst one seed, right. Yeah. And actually, you know, Kansas was that. If you remember, Kansas was only an 8.5-point favorite in that game, and it was close most of the way because Penn was about as good a 16 as you ever see. But yeah, the worst 16 beating the best one ever. Crazy.
Yeah. Absolutely. So with that being said, Josh, you like Virginia or Duke tomorrow?
I think Virginia's going to do it. I said, betting against them never, you know, works out for me. And at essentially a pick 'em in their home court, go with the Cavaliers.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you all day there. What's the total?
We're not seeing them yet.
35. I was thinking 27.
Yeah, so 135. Yeah, so.
Another thing, yeah, people think even Virginia's scoring a little bit this year. I mean, people, you get this image that they, you know, win and it's like 49-44, but Virginia's scoring in the 80s sometimes.
The first game was 72-70. That was at Duke. So
That was an over, too.
Yeah, but you kind of think Duke's not going to get as many points on the road as they would at home. So I think it plays out to a Virginia game under 135.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Staying in the ACC, Josh, what the hell will NC State scoring 24 points?
I honestly thought it was a misprint. Like, I was watching the games, whatever, Saturday, doing some stuff. I saw it come across the screen. You know what happened, John? I saw it on the ticker. I thought for sure this was halftime score.
Yeah.
Right, because it's 47-24. I'm like, come on. No. The little thing said final. I'm like, you know, no, come on. This is halftime. You got to be kidding. But then I ended up looking it up on my phone at some point because they flashed it again. I'm like, are you serious? I looked it up. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. It turns out it's going to be one of the most, you know, infamous games in NCAA history.
Something like that?
Yeah, it was like the lowest point total. It's kind of funny because Virginia Tech was no great shakes. They scored 47.
Yeah.
But 24, it was like the lowest output ever in the shot clock era for a Division I team.
I believe they had 9 points in the second half?
Yeah, how is that even possible?
It's not.
And NC State's a top 20 ranked team all year.
Yeah, they got up to like 15 and then just, how are you going to score 9 points in the second half?
Another big game.
Fake Wolfpack.
That's kind of a disgrace.
Another big game tomorrow. Michigan at home versus Wisconsin. Michigan laying 6, total 120. Michigan was playing well. They lost a couple of games, 21-2 right now. Wisconsin 17-6. I think a get well game for Michigan. It's a small
Wisconsin
price.
Beat them the first time.
Yeah.
That was their first loss of the year.
Yeah, so coming back home to Michigan, Josh, I kind of tend to lean a little bit towards Michigan right here.
Yeah, I think it's just a bit of a tough one, Ken. I would agree, except they're the type of thing Wisconsin's hard to create separation from, and they're playing well right now. Yeah, I don't know, 6. I don't know if I'd lay it just
this cheap shot artist on Wisconsin. He's doing his best Grayson Allen.
I saw that video.
Imitation. Yeah,
I think it's Brad Davidson.
Yeah, that's exactly,
what it is. Yeah, John's
tripping
right.
People and undercutting.
Sticking his feet under them.
The worst thing
and like Grayson
do.
Allen, he's reviled among road fans who hate the kid.
He really
he's
is. And
sophomore,
it's just,
I think.
I don't understand that cheap way of playing basketball. God knows I I played a lot of basketball and took every advantage I had, and but when you undercut people and you trip people and you and
well,
you
stick
mess,
your feet under their feet, so when
you,
they're coming down, you're looking
ankles
at, yeah, you're
feet.
You're looking to turn ankles.
It's bad news, and you should get punched right in the face.
Get punched right in the face. So Villanova has worked their way back into things, Josh and John. And they're playing number 10 Marquette tomorrow. Marquette,
what a great game the other night.
Yeah, right before the Pac game
against Creighton. Yeah.
It never fails when the Pac's on CBS Sports.
You're watching the game
first
before.
Game goes overtime.
Or, yeah, and it goes triple overtime.
It's like playing. It's like playing in the 44-hour tournament in Winnemucca at 3 a.m. And I remember one time, Kenny. I don't know if you were there. Not to get off the subject, but the team before had to have an inside the park home run to tie the game to send it into extra innings. And by God, he did it. And every time we would be waiting to play, it'd be an extra inning game.
Absolutely amazing.
Ken, you mentioned, by the way, Villanova, which actually looked awful early. You know, they had so much roster turnover, you figured they'd have it figured out. But they lost a bunch of games. I think Penn beat them. And wow, is this team even going to break 500? They've been on fire lately. So Jay Wright, again, he got turned around. Again, they're looking like the team to beat in the Big East. But I actually like Marquette in this one. You know, the Marquette's minus one. They got the best scorer in the country with Marcus Howard, their point guard. I mean, and Marquette, yeah, there's lots of teams, especially in the Big East, with those severe home road splits. Marquette's much tougher at home. I think they get that tomorrow.
And especially Villanova coming off that big emotional overtime win just a few days ago, now going on the road. So with that being said, make sure that you tune back in. We'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Oh, still got a little something. He should have won.
Well, welcome back to the Windmill Sports Show. We're betting virtual horses here on our break. And it was easy money. Malbert, the best ticket rider in Reno, was up here, and his favorite saying is easy money, and a horse came up, and we finished
how
third.
How have we not, all the time we spend in this place, how have we not spent a night just doing this?
A virtual horse racing?
Yes.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So the three horse ran wire to wire, and he fell behind at the right at the pole at the Lollipop because it looks like they're racing for a lot. I know, I just took a bad beat in virtual horse racing.
That's pretty bad. McKenna, yeah, for our listeners who aren't familiar, just like virtual, I mean, if you can picture a video keno or poker, this is the horse racing version of it, where they actually have animated horses, except it's like real time. There's real odds and everything, and you actually bet on these, you know, again, virtual horses. You put your money down. It's real money, real betting, like a real parimutuel pool would be at the racetrack.
Yeah.
And then they take off for like a lap, and you're watching the cartoon horses, and then you either win or lose with their results. And it's pretty entertaining. But, John, to your point, I think we're probably better off that we haven't done
that. I
know,
you're probably
because
right.
I can see myself developing a habit that I'd rather not.
Do you remember the name of my favorite horse?
Yeah, centrifugal horse.
Centrifugal horse.
Give me, Mel, I'm going to make a bet right
we're
now.
Make a bet. Here
Mel,
you go.
It's a small one. Just $2 across on the number two horse in the next race.
Oh, boy.
I saw one come up a while ago. I told you.
$2 across.
Beaten Chalk was a
yeah,
big
Beaten
one,
Chalk.
Too. You know, I want to see Beaten Chalk come up.
You know the reason
again.
I'm betting
I'm
it?
Bet on it?
The reason I'm betting it is because I just lost by nose. You just said you just lost by nose. There's a horse I'm betting called By Nose.
Nice.
And it's the jockey's name is Nick Boggs.
Oh.
Nick Bogdanovich.
Right. They have all those funny names of the trainers and stuff.
Yeah.
And we've also been known to side bet the virtual horse. Meeting.
Everybody's listening right now.
In the pool, we're like, hey, a dollar on number five between each other.
Everybody's listening right now going, what in the hell are these
guys
talking about?
Yeah, you got to
come down sometime. First horse race I ever bet. Oh yeah, there you go. By nose, 11-1. we were at the Hilton at that point, not the Grand Sierra, and the horse's name is Tricky Catman. And I was like, oh, that horse is gonna win. And it was like 8-1, whatever it was. And we all put down $5 on it.
Yeah,
it was the time of our life.
Yeah,
and then
it's
gave
exciting.
It a whole bet. Yeah.
So we have the two
Tricky
horse
Catman.
I think Hottie Lottie in the 8 spot's going to win.
In
this one
minute, 1 minute now, we're going to have the next post here at Brandywine Raceway. And we have By Nose by Nick Boggs. Nick Boggs. All right, with that being said, where are we at? What were we talking about? Villanova Marquette. We talked about
big game.
Big game. Duke Virginia, we talked about that. Louisville Florida State, Josh. A big 16-10. I like Marquette. All right, I like Marquette tomorrow too.
Yeah.
You know, just for that,
yeah,
just for the record.
I like Louisville a little bit in that game. It's weird, Ken. Actually, they had a big upset the other night of Virginia Tech. Florida State's doing that thing where they're so erratic, and yet their last couple of games they've done the thing where they play really well, and they actually crushed Miami and then they crushed Syracuse. But they're one of those teams. It seems whenever you can kind of count on them, they kind of do the opposite of what you're thinking. Just keep in mind, Louisville now coached by Chris Mack, who was the longtime Xavier guy. And these kind of spots, I just try to remember that because last year, Louisville wasn't terribly reliable. But with him at the helm, he's one of those guys who it just always seems like his team's prepared. They tend to do well against sort of erratic teams like Florida State. So
yeah.
I take Louisville in that one.
They really surprised me this year, Louisville.
They're good.
They really are good. And I thought it was going to take a minute for that program to get back to what they were. And obviously they're not national championship contender at this point, but that's a good team. And
yeah,
and
they're young, and you know, they beat Carolina at Chapel Hill.
Yeah, and it's, you use a good word for Florida State, and that's erratic because they could come out and be lights out. You never know with them. But I like that. I like Louisville in this spot. I'm really surprised that they're playing at the level they're playing at. That's a great job by Chris Mack.
Yeah. Speaking of Florida State, they're one of those teams, you know, we talk about how Nevada's so experienced, and so is Kansas State, which I didn't even realize until I knew they had some experience, but they actually had all five starters back from last year's Elite Eight team, and we know Nevada had, you know, most of their core back. Florida State is actually also one of the most experienced teams in the country.
Yeah.
But you'll just get that anytime. You'll blow out a pretty solid team by 20 points or lose to a mediocre one by 15 the next game. That's one of those things you can't peg, but I just think in this spot, Louisville's the play.
Josh, did you write about any of these games on Sportsline? Is there anything coming up on the slate tomorrow that plays?
Oh, of course. You see, you've actually seen my thing, my queue, my actual account, where if you click on my name, my spread plays are there, and then they're tracked in our system with time stamped and all that, so you know exactly what spread was used and what the outcome was. And we have them every single day. So I've got articles and plays up there today. What happened is, the games are just like at the sports book. They tend to load into our system on an overnight basis. So I'll go back to either home or office tonight, and those games should be in there. And my point is, Ken, so my plays for tomorrow will be a combination. I'll post probably a couple tonight and then a couple in the morning. So if you have the subscription and you see...
in fourth. Sorry, Josh.
That's okay. And you click under my name, you'll get plays there.
Yep.
Do the horses ever stumble or the jockeys fall off in virtual horse racing?
Yes.
Have you seen it? If you pay close attention, sometimes we'll see it here too. It'd be crazy. Some of the horses look like, you know, they're out of control, crazy. They're shaking their head or like
spooked.
They look
at
like
this horse paid 52-1.
Yeah, they look like they're either angry or
he paid $52.
I told you, Hadi Ladi got second place.
Dang. Yeah, by Ernie Elko.
Ernie Elko, of course.
Sorry,
Terry Totopaw.
John, you're right. The next time there's nothing going on, we're gonna.
There's nothing going on this February.
Well, no. Okay, maybe next week or so. Maybe Sunday we'll come down here and just bet.
All day, can we get it on the big screen in the
room? Yeah, we'll have a virtual horse handicap.
The problem is,
I don't know why I'm so fired up about horse handicapping right now.
Problem is getting in the window in time for the stuff.
Yeah. So, anyways, Josh. So, your selections for tomorrow. Sorry, listeners.
No. So, thank you, Ken. But yeah, I said, like you said, if you have a subscription, Sportsline.com, click on the tab. My stuff's always there. Of the stuff we're talking about now. I've already mentioned a couple that will very likely make it up to Sportsline, which would be Marquette would be one for sure. You know, probably Louisville. I'm going to be selective, though, only because it also looks like an extremely difficult slate. And it's one of those things you want to get carried on. Early in the season is where I find all the value in college basketball, because you've seen teams a few times before there's necessarily an adjustment made. You can kind of get in there. Same true with college football. The last few weeks of college football, real difficult to beat. John, I feel the same way about college buckets. Here we are. Basically mid-February, I look at the sheet, and you know the odds makers are onto everything. Everything's pretty tight, so there's not too many spots where you really have an edge.
I know, it's tough. What are your thoughts, if you have any, on Georgetown Hoyas?
They're tough. You know, it's kind of like I actually like Butler a little bit tomorrow, only because Georgetown's been the same way. It seems like they follow up a great performance with kind of a bad one.
Yeah.
And I know that every game, I'm sure you've seen it on TV too, and that Big East is by and large, I just stay away. Every game seems like it goes to overtime.
It does.
You got Georgetown, Marquette, you know, Villanova, Providence, you know, Creighton, you name it, whoever's in there. They just have these wild, incredibly close games. I'm like, give me a break. And I think they actually came from behind to beat Butler in the first one. Yeah, Butler had a pretty big lead. I just feel like in Butler, oh man, Butler's had like a bunch of 1-point losses in a row. So I feel like when it comes right down to it, Butler's a little bit better, and I like them tomorrow.
As much as I do miss the old Big East with UConn and Syracuse, this Big East, it's a compelling conference.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like you said, they're early. Sometimes I'll be at work watching it because they have games that usually even come on early, like 3 p.m., right?
Yeah.
Everyone else starts 4 or 5. But, yeah, there's usually that Big East game on FS1 every weekday.
Yep.
It's always just some wild game, and I'm glad to usually stay away from it. But given the overall state of the program, I actually think John Thompson, the way they play and the guys he's got, I think
Patrick Ewing.
John Thompson, I'm sorry.
I wish it was John Thompson.
But I think Patrick Ewing is doing a good job. Yo, I didn't know. You know, it's funny, John, the guys we grew up with, right? He's bad than Chris Mullen every other game. It's the guys we grew up watching.
Sherman Douglas coaching.
Right, but I feel like Patrick Ewing, I feel like, is doing a good job. I think he's got him on the right track.
And I'm a lifelong Hoya fan because of Patrick Ewing. So it's really cool. He got passed over so many times for coaching jobs in the NBA.
Yeah,
that
I'm glad that he finally got a break.
I am too.
And at his alma mater.
It's a perfect fit. I think recruiting shouldn't be an issue for him. And it's, I don't know if he's next to the nose guy or what, but.
The thing about that, though, he's just like a living, you know, mascot for the program.
Oh, he is the program.
Right. So how could you turn him, you know what I mean? But if you're in that D.C. area, like how could you, like you said, I think that would have to be a huge recruiting.
Unless you're going to have Allen Iverson coach.
Right, he goes up against Maryland or whoever else in the direct vicinity. How could he not win out like those guys?
You would think so. But also, you know, getting into Georgetown's not the easiest thing in the world. So I'm sure they bend the rules a little bit as far as that goes. But it's definitely heading in the right direction. I think college basketball is better when the Georgetowns and Indianas and Louisvilles and the Blue Bloods are good. So I like where they're heading.
Pretty crazy battles with St. John's already this year.
It's funny. It really is funny to see Chris Mullen versus Patrick Ewing again in this capacity. It's really cool.
Absolutely. The old the stars from yesteryear actually.
These are the guys we grew up watching.
There's nothing like the Big East back then. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It was a war. That's one of the best 30 for 30s that's never really talked about is the Requiem for the Big East. That's a great one.
NBA basketball, a couple of weeks ago, you could have got Harden.
It made ESPN.
You could have got Harden even money to win the NBA, the MVP. He's minus 750 right now. Can you believe that, Josh?
Yeah.
750.
That's pretty crazy, though, because, you know, Ken, at one point, you know, Tua Tagovailoa to win the Heisman was the same. Kyler Murray came on at the last minute. Those odds could change, but Ken doesn't make you think where – especially if you're paying attention to the first half of the NBA season, kind of makes you feel like you might have missed out on some good value if you could have had him at even money. But at this point, it's hard to imagine someone unseating him, but you never know. You know, like, well, what if Harden, if he's been injury prone, if he gets a sprained ankle, whatever, misses a couple weeks, and someone else comes on strong?
Yeah, I mean, it's who you got, Durant? I mean, it's
Who else would be in the running, Ken? Like, I don't think Westbrook's averaging a triple double, but his scoring's way down.
I mean, who in the East? Embiid? I mean, there's not a whole
there's
lot.
There's not enough games left to overcome. If Harden was to get hurt tomorrow, would he still win the MVP thing?
No. No way.
He not with missing that much time.
So what do they have left? 20 games?
More. The All-Star break hasn't even happened yet, Ken. So there's more. And I realize
they play 53 games.
Right, and they're not at the exact midpoint.
Yeah,
what I was going to say. Right.
20,
so it's a little.
5-ish. Right, yeah. So 26.
30-ish.
That's what I mean.
Just about right.
So has he done enough to win the MVP if he was to get
no.
hurt?
No.
Okay, so
missed too much.
So basically, you can't lay 750. You got to figure out who would be behind him.
So so who else is in the mix?
You have
like
Durant,
you said, Embiid, Kawhi Leonard. I don't see any of them. Anthony Davis isn't playing. Giannis,
there
he
you go.
He would be the one who replaced him. It's currently 3-1.
Yeah, but so
I'll take the coupon.
Yeah,
look at that.
Yeah, Harden, keep in mind, he does get hurt a lot. So he can jump in, and people love Giannis now. He would be the guy.
And people don't love Harden.
Or they don't love, right now, KD's not a
KD.
He's not a big fan favorite right now.
Give it to Joel Embiid.
Why not? Put a little money on Joel at 18-1.
18-1. There is so much value with that. If the Sixers just go on a huge roll here, which they – I absolutely have the ability to do. Make no mistake, they have this big four now. He's the guy. But if he went on this huge run, they got the number one seed. You never know.
No, I agree. Why not? I mean, anything could happen. But you know, you're still rooting. You know, I don't want to win a bet because I'm wishing anything ill.
Yeah.
You know, from the beard. You know. So.
But you would. But like you said, Kim, but that's the only value. So the only way you can win on someone else is for Harden to go down. So
yeah.
But I'm not looking to capture.
I would cheer for it, but I'd be like, yeah.
I'm not looking to capture 3-1. I mean, I need 25-1 or something like that.
If
I'm going to root for, you know, if I'm going to root for somebody has a minor injury and misses some games, minor injury. You know, as I said, Josh.
Okay.
You know, I'd be looking to, you know, to get some value there. So Wolfpack lays 20 tomorrow. Let's get back to that real quick. I know listeners, you know, sometimes they just tune in. Wolfpack laying 20.5 tomorrow. Tip off at 3:00. Revenge game versus New Mexico. Total 154. 154. I'm going to do a little bit of handicapping, and I will post what I like on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping, and I'm going to get you guys locked down to what I think you guys like too. So
and those totals are back to getting a little bit high, but we notice, you know, Ken, after a bit of a midseason, you know, drop off on the offensive end. The Pack's back there to pushing that pace and pushing those totals over, which is nice. Because, you know, if they've got the offense flowing, they'll crush a 150-ish total any day.
They hit the threes. I said if they shoot 38%, they can win it all.
If Jordan Caroline shoots 40% for the rest of the year, we're going to win. He's a beast. I can't harp enough on how proud I am of that kid for recognizing his weakness and overcoming it. Everybody, at the beginning of the year, he'd go for three, and everybody in the stands would go, no, no, no. And I'm going.
I still do.
But, yeah, but he's.
I did it with Cameron Oliver, too, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, Jordan's, he's second on the team in three-point percentage. I mean, absolutely amazing.
What I love is when you watch these nationally televised games, hearing the analysts, color analysts, just gush about Caroline.
All I can remember
from. Pete Gillen just is in love with him.
All I can remember, John, Josh, from the Colorado State game was one of the announcers. The only thing he could say is, wow.
Yeah.
Not even, a big play would happen and he wouldn't even critique it. He'd just go, wow.
He's so far and away the best player on the team. And I'm taking nothing away from Caleb. It's Jordan. I mean, he carries that team.
Yeah.
And he's so versatile and he's still the hardest worker out there, it seems, and I can't say enough.
How impressed when he missed the three pointer and he hustled out the rebound and knocked it off of the guy out of bounds to get the ball back.
That's so. What I'm talking
about. He didn't pout.
It's that type of stuff. Right. He doesn't have that superstar mentality.
Last commercial break, John, Josh.
Which Caleb clearly does.
Yeah. last commercial break, we come back, John. Baseball totals are out, so we'll get you guys' opinion on some baseball totals.
Before or after wins. The Giants signed Bryce Harper.
All right, here we go. Last commercial break, ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back for the last segment of the Windhill Sports Show, coming to you live from the Club County Eva on ESPN 94.5 FM. Make sure you do all your sports wagering with William Hill. Download the mobile app at www.williamhill.us. Full service sports mobile betting app right at your fingertips. Anything that you can bet here at the brick and mortars in the casino, you can bet on your app. You can populate it, fund it. Through your bank account, through credit cards, things like of that nature. So make sure that you download
that. I don't advise that.
I know. I remember the first day I was told that I was happy and mad at the same time.
It's a dangerous game, Kenny Barler.
Dangerous game. So with that being said, John, Josh, you want to give out any selections? Anything you like? You guys want to talk? We're going to give out the baseball stuff. Big UFC card tomorrow too. The return of Anderson Silva, Josh. Did you write any articles on that?
Well, we put it this way. I didn't specifically write it myself, but we have people who have. In the past I'll do UFC and or boxing previews, but we had a different contributor do the specific card. But yeah, we do, Ken, like you mentioned, we have information on all the UFC cards, so if you want to check it out, there is stuff there. And as you know, whether it's myself or listener Jonathan Adamitz, we have some pretty consistent dialogue on the air now about UFC, and there is a pretty cool card. It's in Brazil. It's one of those interesting things. Anderson Silva against Israel Adesanya. Anderson Silva is actually a big underdog because he's basically just seen as, kind of the living legend now who's out of it. He's over age 40. The better, to me, the better fights, for sure, the co-main, the light heavy, the Kevin Gastelum against Robert Whittaker. That's a huge fight. I'm curious if Jonathan likes the same guy I do. I think Kelvin Gastelum's a live underdog.
I'm going to say no.
He's an absolute terror. Believe it or not, John, we don't disagree all that often. That's a bit of a, sort of manufactured friction. But one thing to keep in mind, though, when you see one of these cards like this, Brazil, there's a bunch of people, of course, as they do everywhere, they like to please the home crowd or whatever, so they'll have a bunch of people from that country on the card. And when that happens and when that person's an underdog, I say bet him, because rest assured, they're getting the nod from the judges. Because you have Brazilians and the Brazilian home crowd. I'm serious, and I mean it no matter where the card travels. But you always see it. The UFC stacks it with local or semi-local people. And those people come in as an underdog, and weird stuff happens. So I just say bet every Brazilian on the card, and you'll probably turn out all right.
I'd say so.
And there's there's some other, Sam Alvey against Jim Crute. There's some pretty good, it's a pretty, overall a pretty jam-packed card, but I would just say the last two fights for sure are worth checking out, and it's one of those things. Adesanya is the, for sure, the hot newcomer or whatever, but just Anderson Silva in Brazil, at plus 425.
Yeah.
I'd say take a chance.
He likes him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'd say it's worth believing. Like I said, it's one of those things, if Silva somehow goes the distance, goes five rounds, and is in front of
he said the fights
fans.
I think they said the fights in Australia. What does that say? Are we got the wrong card?
Now this says Brazil.
It says Brazil. Interesting. Maybe
same
I.
Difference.
This is. Do I got the wrong sheet?
I don't think you.
It's
do,
definitely right? In the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, so no.
Got it.
Yeah, this is. Yeah, we're talking about this. Well, Jesse's saying that the fights in Australia. We're looking right here. It says the CFO. Arena CFO in Brazil. So, anyways, he said Gastelum is live. This is our UFC expert, and he also likes Anderson Silva. So, You know, he got him at plus 425. He's down to plus 350. Oh, and wow. Gastelum is down to 120 or 175 opening
at $2. So from the card we're looking at, which makes sense. Because I figured there'd be some steam on Gastelum. Even though Whitaker's an absolute beast, Ken, I'd say that, you know, that match is more or less, I think, pretty much even, meaning, you know, the matchup itself lends itself to value on the underdog because I think both guys are pretty solid. Gastelum had some impressive finishes. I mean, either guy could win that fight, so you got to take the dog.
All right.
I only take dogs.
John, unofficial. Here he goes. What's he saying? Last week was Brazil. Wow, that's funny because he's saying
so we have a misprint on our
Yeah, we have a misprint, wrong sheet.
Okay.
No, our sheet, we don't – let me see this. Do we have the wrong sheet? Is Anderson Silva on this sheet? No, we don't have the wrong sheet, bud. The sheet's wrong. It's the right sheet with the wrong header. How's that? Because it has Anderson Silva
correct,
on there. So
correct.
With that being said, so take that. You're wrong, Jesse. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Which all makes right. sense, I guess, because Robert Whitaker's from Australia. So,
yeah, so anyways, but Houston.
Take all the Australians on the card then.
Robert Whitaker.
Just fill in the correct country and take all the hometown fighters.
Highest win total to open up. This is unofficial from William Hill. Houston Astros at 97.5. I guess you can see that, right, Josh?
Under.
It's hard to. I agree. I mean, but, man, that Houston.
A's are good. Mariners are good. Angels are good.
So no freebies in the division.
No freebies. Not even the Rangers. That's under.
Josh, you have any opinions on this?
Even though I still think they're the best team in baseball.
No, I do. Believe it or not, Ken, I actually started for Sportsline this week because they do keep coming out early and earlier with the season win totals in baseball. Caesars Palace and Vegas, a couple other books actually already have their full thing out. So we're already doing it. And believe it or not, I had to jump in and actually do some big projects with that, so I'm kind of familiar with what's going on with the win totals. With the super high ones, pretty much just take them under regardless, but that's not one I like a whole bunch either way.
I think the top four are probably pretty easy, you know, to understand. You know, you have the Houston Astros at 97.5 wins, the New York Yankees at 96.5 wins, the Boston Red Sox at 95.5 wins, and the Dodgers at 95 wins.
Under and all of them.
Do you think so, John?
Flat out under and all of them.
Are you saying bet a correlated under because you think the worst you can do is 2-4? Or do you think you go 1-3 or 3-1?
I think I'd go minimum 3-1 out of that. I think the Red Sox and Yankees are going to cancel each other out in a sense, and Dodgers are. I don't. Is this still happening? Dodgers still? We're still doing this. I don't see that team winning 95 games.
They had to come out of nowhere.
Unless they signed Bryce Harper. That's what's funny, that no one of note has even signed a free agent contract yet. So for these to be out right now, if you saw a Bryce Harper sign with the Dodgers, that would affect my thought process there.
Oh,
for
totally.
Sure.
And you know what, Ken, there's some other – I'm sure you got the whole sheet in front of you, but from some research I did speaking of what's just the past few days for Sportsline, you know what, I kind of like John that I think you might – It's a team I know you got tabs on is the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah,
I believe their number was 67. You know they had a horrible year last year.
Yeah,
but they've got some guys they're excited about coming up. Of course they got Whit Merrifield, but they've got a couple of prospects apparently they're kind of excited about coming up. A lot of last year Duffy was hurt a little bit. Eunice and the starting staff supposed to round out a little bit with some prospect. From the research I did. I just put it this way. The number sort of looks like it expects another disaster, but I'm thinking they're going to be a little bit better.
I think so, too. That's a 70-win team, I would think.
Yeah.
In that division, it's the Indians, a little bit of Twins, and then nothing. So I like the way that they play ball. I like the way that they're constructed. Ned Yost knows what he's doing. I like that.
And for what it's worth, they went 31-36 after the All-Star break, after they were like 27-68 ahead of it. So it shows that they were on kind of the upward trend when the season ended. I just think, again, this number just kind of says that they're going to.
They can win 70 games.
All right. One of our listeners is saying he's having trouble logging onto the app. So I was I have no idea. I'm seeing lines that started at 4 p.m. still. Oh, sometimes that happens. He's saying that he's seeing lines. But sometimes the game will post the listener. I'm telling him exactly what happened here. But sometimes the line will still be, but you can't bet it. It looks they won't pull it. It still shows active in the computer. But
you know that because, of course, we've all tried.
Yeah, because we've all tried.
So 4 p.m. and my team's up 25 points. Yeah. Hammer that app. Your bet is not available.
So sorry, Mr. Wilson, you can't do that. So we have about 2 minutes. Make sure you like the show at Facebook at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. Make sure you download the William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us. Make sure that you get on sportsline.com and look up stuff. Figured if anyone would know, it would be you. So with that, and Josh at sportsline.com, so I'm multitasking here right now. So give me a couple bets tomorrow that Josh you really like.
Okay, I think I'll go with Marquette.
Marquette over Villanova.
Right, and I'll probably go with Louisville against Florida State.
John, do you have anything that you really have a strong opinion on?
I do. I really do like Virginia. I think that's a perfect spot for them, especially coming off the way that game went down last time in Durham. So I like Virginia, and it's just too much for me to lay 20.5 points in the Wolfpack game.
Okay.
I can't. It wouldn't shock me, but I can't see that happening.
I'm with you, John. I like Virginia, and Josh, I'm with you. I'm not going to bet. I'm going to bet against Villanova and take Marquette tomorrow, too. With that being said, John, I forgot to give these out. Win totals for the Oakland A's, 83. John, you'd mentioned the 83?
Yeah, that's about right, 85 win team, I think.
All right. San Francisco Giants, 73.
Yeah, it all depends on they can sign the big boy.
All right, with that being said, hopefully these Major League Baseball totals will officially be out and so we can get some wagers in. I've heard a lot of the wise guys are on the Milwaukee Brewers at 83.5.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the Milwaukee Brewers making a late run last year. So look at that.
If you 90-win team.
Yeah, and right now you're 83.5. So,
what are the Cubs?
Another one to tell you, Padres under.
89.
Padres are coming, though.
No, 89 on the Cubs. 89 on the Cubs. So Padres, we got to go next week.
It's 77.
All right, we'll see you guys next week on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.